They are, and our thoughts and prayers go out to their families on this terrible tragedy.
Yeah, these two young ladies, graduates of Mount Hebron High, one student at the University of Delaware, one at James Madison University. We're just getting some reports, and I guess you've gotten them as well, apparently from the NTSB, about the circumstances at which their bodies were found, which paints a little more of a picture.
I was on the scene last night around 12:30 until about 8:30 this morning. So I was working with our fire and rescue crews and the police department who were on the scene right away to deal with the tragedy and to try to search for any survivors in the wreckage. It was a very tough situation. And certainly, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the families who were there at the scene overnight as well.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that was like being there and seeing 21 coal cars overturned in various areas of that historic section of Ellicott City. What is the situation right now?
Right now, NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, is in charge of the operation, which is. They're still focusing on our, we have a municipal parking lot adjacent to the train tracks. Many of the train cars fell on top of automobiles in that parking lot. And so if you can picture huge piles of coal, interspersed with automobiles and train and heavy train cars. That's the scene in that parking lot. It's it's hard work with heavy equipment lifting those train cars one by one off of the automobiles with our fire and rescue folks searching for any victims in those vehicles. That's what's happening now. It takes a long time. I've been down there for hours. And you just can't imagine the twisted wreckage until you see it. And so I really ask for patience for all commuters, anyone who's used to going through that area of Frederick Road between Catonsville and Ellicott City. I want this stretch open as soon as possible to support the merchants and businesses. But we also have to follow the lead of the NTSB and make sure that everything's safe before we can open up the area.
So at this point, as far as you know, we have not ruled out the possibility that there'll be more victims?
We have no reason to believe there are, but there are still a few more automobiles that are underneath train cars. They have pulled out a number of them, but there are still a few automobiles buried. Again, we have no reason to believe there are additional victims, but until we clear that entire parking lot, we really won't know for 100% sure.
Can we talk with you a little bit about that train bridge? I know you're more familiar with it than I am. And I'm first wondering, is it very easy to access? Can anybody walk up there? I've seen pictures, and there are steps, and it looks like there's sort of a shoulder and almost a boardwalk next to the tracks.
If folks can picture this, this is the adjacent to the historic B&O Railroad Museum. This is the first, one of the first, if not the first, passenger railroad in the country. There is a platform up there, and certainly folks who want to access it, even though it's dangerous, certainly can. It is one thing that certainly with the our police chief and fire chief overnight, we were spending some time talking about. Once all this is cleaned up and cleared, we will have a discussion along with CSX about how to better secure the area. But certainly, anyone who wants to get up there, it's not. They can certainly get up there.
Have people been known to hang out up there?
Overnight, when you start talking to folks hanging out down there, bar owners and folks who live down there, they certainly told me that. It's a reasonably frequent scene to see folks up there, despite how dangerous it is. And so we want to take a look at that. Obviously, that's something that we're going to take a look at moving forward after this all passes.
So as far as you know, there's no gate, no lock, nothing that prevents anyone.
There's some fencing, but certainly it's an area where if you want to get up there, you can find a way to get up there. So we're going to take a look and see if there's a way to better secure that area.
So the last we have heard from investigators that they do believe that the two young women were sitting up there, possibly with their backs to the train and facing opposite of the train.
You know, I would really refer all those questions to the police department and the NTSB investigators who are there on, you know, on the scene, still working through those aspects of it.
I know you've been talking with merchants on and off all day. Do you have any estimate at this point as to how long it will take to open the roads?
You know, I don't. We're taking the lead. The NTSB, our police and fire personnel, and highways crews from Public Works are playing a supporting role to help them secure the area and help with heavy equipment. I would hope, you know, sometime tomorrow, but it may be later in the day tomorrow. And so I've been on the phone with merchants and talking to them in person. Turns out we actually have a town hall meeting tonight that I had scheduled, separate from this incident, weeks ago, to talk about infrastructure improvements to help with parking and stormwater management and things like that on Main Street. And so we'll have a big audience tonight of merchants, and so we'll give them a briefing. The merchants on Main Street, Ellicott City, are a tough lot who've been through floods.
Yeah, they have.
We'll get through this, and you know, it's what makes it the charming Main Street, Ellicott City, the historic Main Street, is you do have this kind of infrastructure and these kind of challenges, but it's a great place, and so I would encourage people. Some of them have had to have been closed today and might be closed tomorrow, and if you can get out and support these merchants later in the week or over the weekend, I know they'd appreciate it. So would I.